We are on a journey together as a church family to discover everlasting wisdom for everyday life. We're on this journey together through the book of Proverbs. A few weeks ago, we launched together on this journey through the wonderful Old Testament book of Proverbs to explore wisdom, practical wisdom for the everyday areas of life. And when we started this journey together, we said, first of all, it's a personal journey. We've asked every person to daily read the proverb that corresponds to the day of the month and a journal to write what God speaks into your heart. So this morning, if you're reading along with us, today is October the 14th. You should have read Proverbs chapter what? Chapter 14. Exactly. That's what we're doing. We're reading along together through the book of Proverbs. Secondly, we said it's a family journey. We've asked families to take time during the week, be it around a meal time or a time that you set aside, and just discuss the practical wisdom that God is speaking into your heart as a family. Thirdly, it's a community journey. In all of our weekend services, all of our children's and student classes, all of our small groups and connection groups, we're exploring this principle of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. We're examining, we're discovering, we're digging, we're seeking together. And I don't know about you personally, but God has been speaking into my life richly through this time, daily, just seeking wisdom in the book of Proverbs. If you're here this morning and you would say, man, God has been speaking into my life through the book of Proverbs, would you just say, amen? Amen. That's what I thought. I've heard many testimonies over the last couple of weeks, people sharing about things that God's speaking into their lives, just the riches of daily pursuing God in His Word. And I even heard a testimony Friday night of a man in our church and just how God had been speaking so profoundly into his life through the book of Proverbs. Well, God's been doing that in my life. God's been speaking out of the book of Proverbs, and I've been doing this personally for many, many years in my life. But this season where we've set it aside to just explore it together has just had a tremendous impact on my life. And as I've been studying through the book of Proverbs right along with you, as we've been doing that together on this journey, there are two recurring truths that God just continues to pour into my life out of the book of Proverbs. Two themes, two truths that it just seems like no matter which chapter you're reading in, no matter what day of the week it is, these two truths always find their way into the proverb for me personally. And I want to share those two truths with you this morning. Here's the first one. Our dependence on God. As you read the book of Proverbs over and over and over again, the writer of Proverbs is reminding us about our deep dependence on God. Just over the last couple of weeks, as you've been reading through Proverbs, this has been evidenced in the book of Proverbs. Look at a couple of verses that demonstrate this truth. First of all, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. These are some of the most famous or familiar verses from the book of Proverbs. Listen to what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In, read the next three words out loud, all your ways. Say that again. All your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You could literally translate that phrase, all your ways, like this. You could literally translate it, in every single thing you do. You know what the writer of Proverbs is saying there? We are absolutely dependent on God in every single thing we do. We have a tendency as followers of Jesus to trust God for the big things. I mean, if I have a major decision to make, if I have a big circumstance in my life, if I have an unexpected situation that pops up, we tend to trust God for the big things. We always go to God and seek His guidance on the major issues in life. But what the writer of Proverbs is here saying is we're dependent upon God in every single thing we do, every situation in our lives, the big things and the small things. In every single thing I do, I am to live in dependence on God. It speaks to that idea of living moment by moment in dependence on the Father. That's what Proverbs teaches. And it's over and over again as you study through the book of Proverbs. This reality, this truth that we are dependent on God. Look at it in another verse. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Now, this verse is also Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. It's the exact same verse two times in the book of Proverbs. Listen to what it says. There is a way which seems, what does it say? Right. There is a way which seems, what? Right. But its end is the way of death. You know what the writer of Proverbs tells us there? Man, as we look at our lives, there'll be a lot of situations in our lives and we'll look at it and go, hey, this is the right thing. But it's not the right thing at all. You see, if we depend on ourselves, if we look to ourselves to determine right and wrong and the decisions that we need to make in life and the reactions that we should have on a day in and day out basis, moment by moment, if we trust in ourselves, the Bible says many times we don't see things the right way. The prophet Jeremiah said it this way. He said, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Here's what the prophet Jeremiah says. My heart will lie to me. My flesh will lie to me. My flesh will tell me this is exactly what I need when that's not what I need at all. This happened to me yesterday. Yesterday we were at Jason's Deli having lunch, and Jason's Deli was giving away free cake. My flesh said, you need cake. But you can tell by looking at me, I didn't need cake at all. Now, that's just a simple thing. That's a small thing. But in reality, our flesh lies to us about all sorts of things. Our flesh will tell us, man, this is what we need. This is the desire of your heart. This is what you need to go after. This is what will bring fulfillment and satisfaction and meet all of your needs. When in reality, many times the flesh is lying to us. We cannot trust ourselves. We must live moment by moment in dependence on God. Not just for the big things in life, but for the small things in my life. I'm to live my life out of the overflow of dependence on God. A third verse I want you to look at, Proverbs 28, verses 25 and 26. Look what these say. An arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. Read the last phrase with me out loud. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. You know what we learn from the book of Proverbs? We're dependent on God. One of the major life lessons we learn from the book of Proverbs, one of the things that as you read this book every morning, as you're reading these chapters every morning, one of the major life lessons that we can walk away from the book of Proverbs with is this. I need God. I want you to say that with me this morning out loud. Those three simple words, I need God. You ready? One, two, three. I need God. How many of you would say that's true? Let me see your hand. All right, put them down. I don't want you to raise your hand this time. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. But does the way you live your life demonstrate what you just said is the testimony of your life? Do you live your life moment by moment in dependence on the Father? Do you carry with you throughout the day that awareness? I need God. Do you wake up in the morning and one of the first thoughts that hits you is, I need God. throughout the day, are you brought back to this reminder? You see, we tend to think that we need God when we're serving in ministry at the church or using our spiritual gifts. Or we need God when we're making those major decisions in life. But the reality of the book of Proverbs is in every single situation in my life, I need God. I'm desperate for God. Jesus said it this way. Remember when we were studying through the Gospel of John? I mean, how could you forget it? 5 years, you know. But we studied together through John's Gospel, John chapter 15, verse 5. Remember what Jesus said? Apart from me, you can do what? You know the problem? We don't believe that. I mean, let's just get really honest this morning. We really don't believe that. Here's what we believe. Apart from Him, I can't do some things. And those are the things we seek God about. But in reality, we think there's a whole lot of stuff. I mean, I can go to work every day and I can do my job. I can get up in the morning and be the husband or father or wife or mother that I'm supposed to be. I can do this or that. There's a lot of things. We simply think, I can do these things. But Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you really examine that word, it's a powerful word. It's a double negative. It could literally be translated, not even one thing. I can't be the husband I'm supposed to be. I can't be the father I'm supposed to be. I can't be the friend I'm supposed to be. I can't be the pastor I'm supposed to be. I can't be the neighbor I'm supposed to be. I can't be the employee or the employer that I'm supposed to be. I'm absolutely dependent upon God for everything. I need God. Let me say it this way. God created life to be lived in the context of a relationship with Himself. We will never really live. We'll never really live apart from Him. You may exist. You may endure. But you won't live. You see, the Creator who created life so wired us that we are not capable of living to the fullness of His creation. We're not capable of living apart from dependence on Him. That's the way we were wired. God never intended for human beings to live apart from a relationship of dependence upon Himself. That's the way we were made. That's the way we were wired. And so the reality is, unless we're living in dependence on God moment by moment for everything in my life, every situation, I'm not really living to the fullness of what God intended when He created life. The first truth is our dependence on God. Let me give you the second one. Our need to seek Him continually. You see, because we're dependent on God, the second truth is our need to seek Him continually. And I want to just to give you some examples out of this, or out of Proverbs, about this particular truth this morning. But I want you to do this first. I want you to take your thumb and I want you to hold it up like this, all right? Everybody hold your thumb up like this. I want you to take your thumb and I want you to turn it like this. Follow me. Here's what I want you to do. All right? Because what we're about to do is we're about to look at several different places in Scripture. You thought that was going to be deep and theological, didn't you? Just waking you up this morning. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to flip through a few chapters, so just keep your thumb licked up, all right? Get ready. Proverbs chapter 2. And I want you to hear the passion in the voice of the writer of the book of Proverbs. Listen to what he says. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. You hear the passion in his voice. Look at verse 3. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Do you hear the passion in his voice? This idea of continuously seeking and searching and treasuring and crying and lifting. Here's what the writer of Proverbs is teaching us. We are absolutely dependent upon God. We're to trust him in every single situation of our lives. So the pattern of our lives should be to continuously seek after God. Here it's personifying wisdom. That's the her that it's talking about here, wisdom. But it's talking about the wisdom of God. So we're to pursue him. We're to seek after him, continuously seeking God. Look at another one. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I want you to see how much this is in here. Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Listen to what he says. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You hear this continuous idea? Don't let it leave you. Write it on your heart. Bind it around your neck. Always keep it continuously seeking God. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Do you hear it again? Again here in Proverbs, he said, man, seek after God continuously. Don't let it leave you. Write it on your heart. Look at verse 22. For they are, what does it say? Life to those who find them. You hear what he's saying? Man, we're desperate for God. We're dependent on God. We're to live every moment of our lives seeking after, searching after, pursuing the Father. And as we do that, we begin to discover life. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, now then, my sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. You hear it again? That constant, continuous attitude. Look at chapter 6, verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them, what? Continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. Do you hear the dependence on God? He says, man, we're to even live in dependence on God when we go to sleep at night. When's the last time you just trusted God to sleep? We don't even think about that. But the writer of Proverbs says, man, we're so dependent on God that as I go to bed at night, I'm to say, oh God, I need you even to rest. It's living my life moment by moment in dependence on the Father. Notice what he says. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you wake up, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of what? Life. You hear it? We live in dependence on the Father. And as we live in dependence on him, moment by moment, we continually seek him in everything that we do. And in the process of seeking him, we discover life. Look at chapter 7. It's all in the book of Proverbs. It's in almost every chapter. Verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and, what does it say? Live. I have written down in the margin of my Bible a definition for that word live. Here's the way I define that word live. Enjoy all that life has to offer. Listen to it read that way. Keep my commandments and enjoy all that life has to offer. You see, many times we tend to think of the commandments of God as restrictive. That the commandments of God are robbing me from enjoying life. I got to keep all the commandments. What the Bible says is the truth. And the truth is that as I keep the commandments of God, then I'm really enjoying all that life has to offer. The reality is that there are so many Christians, who think God saved me, brought me into relationship with Himself so that I can go to heaven when I die. And in between getting saved and going to heaven, I'm just to do the best I can to exist down here on this earth. But that's not the truth. God wants you to live, not endure, not exist. He wants you to live. He wants you to enjoy all that life has to offer. But that can only be enjoyed living out of the overflow of dependence on God in every single situation in my life. Look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, verses 33 to 35. And we'll stop with this one. We could go on, but we'll stop with this one. Heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Watching, what's the next word? Daily at my gates. You hear that idea of continual seeking, watching daily. And then look at what he says. Waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds what? Life. All that life has to offer. He who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Let me summarize what we've been looking at this morning for you. This second truth could be summarized with two words: passionate pursuit. You and I are to live our lives because we're dependent on God, passionately pursuing Him. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. And I want you to just be honest. I want you to raise your hand. Just you and God. Just concentrate, focus on Him, think about Him, talk to Him. Listen as He speaks to your heart. Is your Christianity moment by moment passionate pursuit of Him? Are you just surviving Sunday to Sunday? Or is the essence of your Christianity? Let me tell you why the church in America is so weak and anemic. Because we've missed this. We think Christianity's doing a few Christian things, not doing the unchristian things. We've missed the essence that it's really about living life out of the overflow of an intimate, passionate pursuit of God. At work, living in dependence on the Father. At home, living in dependence on the Father. On the ball field, living in dependence on the Father. At the mall, at the park, wherever you are, laying down in bed at night, living in dependence on the Father, loving my wife in dependence on the Father, raising my children in dependence on the Father, working for my employer in dependence on the Father, living my life out of the overflow of a passionate pursuit of Him, continuously seeking Him. And as I do that, I begin to experience all that life has to offer. Let me give you a life application statement. Look at it on the screen. We are to live in the passionate pursuit of God because we desperately need Him. We're to live in the passionate pursuit of God because we desperately need Him. Now I want to bring this to a close by making it real practical. One of the expressions of this passionate pursuit, and there are many, but one of the expressions of this attitude of desperation that manifests itself in continuously seeking the Father is the spiritual discipline of prayer. Paul said it this way in the book of Thessalonians. He said, pray without what? Ceasing. You know what Paul was saying? Live your life moment by moment, in constant conversation with the Father because you need Him. E.M. Bounds said it this way: the story of every great Christian achievement is really the history of answered prayer. As you look back over the activity of God in history, you see the great movements of God. You dig deep enough, you'll always find a movement of prayer. Dependence on God that expressed itself in a continuous attitude of seeking Him in prayer. You look around at Hope Baptist Church. Let me tell you where Hope Baptist Church came from. These two truths. I've told you the story of Letty Peralta before. I'm not going to tell it again this morning, but our church was born out of the prayers of a Filipino lady that just loved Jesus and wanted to see God do something in this city. She prayed and our church was born. From there, we birthed in our hearts an attitude as a church that said this. Look at it on the screen. We don't pray before we work. Prayer is the work. Then God works. Why do we say that at Hope? I'll tell you why. Because we need Him. We're dependent on Him. And we must continuously seek Him. One of the ways we do that is as we pray, as we call out on Him. And over the last several weeks, as we've been reading through the book of Proverbs, God's just been searing these two truths into my heart again. And I sensed a deep burden, and I began to talk with our pastoral team about it. And God just birthed in our hearts an idea, a way for us this morning to practically apply this truth. All right? And that's going to be a little bit different this morning. But I'm going to ask my helpers to come off our prayer team and our usher team to come and put these boards in place this morning. Just move quickly to your spot there. And just jump to that last slide there. We have set aside the week of October 22nd through October the 28th this year. October 22nd through 28th. Not tomorrow, Monday, but a week from Monday. We've set aside an entire week of prayer and fasting. At our church, we're at a place where we just need to hear from God. We need some direction. We've been through a lot of stuff in the last couple of months. We're in the middle of trying to decide what's next for us as far as facilities go. We're in four services right now, and we really don't know what's next. We don't know what God has for us. We're trying to pursue purchasing some land around us. But we're having some issues with neighbors. Anytime you do construction in Las Vegas, you're going to have to deal with issues with neighbors. But so we're working through that process, and we just want to know what God wants us to do. Here's the bottom line. We just feel like right now as a church, we're in one of those places where God's just put us in a position, kind of like the children of Israel between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. It's just up to God. God's got to do something. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than what we can figure out. And we need to hear from God. We need Him. So we've set aside 7 days, and what you see on these boards that are spread out are 7 days divided up into 30-minute time blocks, 24 hours around the clock. And we're asking our church family, in just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to go to any one of these boards and pick a 30-minute time slot during that week that you'll pray. Next weekend, we're going to give you a prayer guide, and we're going to pray for 7 days, 24 hours, around the clock, consistently as a church family. We're just going to ring heaven. The name Hope Baptist Church and what God's doing in the city of Las Vegas is going to be bouncing off the halls of heaven for 7 straight days, 24 hours around the clock. We're going to just call out on, why would we do this? I'll tell you why. We need Him. And we need to continually seek His face. So we're asking everybody to sign up. If we get every time slot filled, we need just over 300 people. If we get every time slot filled twice, which is our real desire, we need just over 600 people. If we can get every time slot filled three times, it'd be over 1,000 people praying around the clock, 24 hours for 7 straight days. The other thing we're asking you to do is to fast one day during that week. Or, if you can't fast an entire day, one meal. You say, what's a fast? It's when I just do away with food for a meal or a day, and use the time I would normally eat to focus on God and seek His face in prayer. So what I want you to do this morning, Teddy's going to come and he's going to play. And in just a moment, we're going to stand. And as soon as we stand, if God's spoken to your heart and you're willing, I want you to just move to any one of these boards, pick a time slot, do it quickly. We don't have time for somebody to get up there and go, now let me see, what do I... We just get up there, pick a time slot, write your name in, and remember to write it down in your heart, because when you, we're not going to remind you. It's going to be up to you and God. But you understand what we're doing this morning? If you do, nod your head at me. All right, let me pray for us. Father, use this time for your glory. It's in the name of Jesus we pray.